Well, hi, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks for listening. It's September 7th. It's noontime. And I got a show with a good friend of mine. Larry Buchweitz is here from MCH Data. And we're going to talk to the industry, but I want teachers to listen too. And they probably are. Okay. We're going to talk about the importance of using quality data in educational marketing. Larry happens to be an expert on this. So we're going to be, I just billed you as an expert, Larry. I'll bring you on in a second. So I want people to understand how the industry works. Okay, most people in the industry come right out of education, so it's really important everybody gets this and understands it. And it's important, obviously, for the industry as well, especially with our big EdNet conference coming up this coming Sunday through Tuesday. And in Scottsdale, I'll be there. There won't be any shows starting. It's the following week. It's let me get the exact dates. Now that I said all that, let me get the exact dates. It's September. Here we go. September 17th through Tuesday. Sorry about that. Got my weeks messed up. I'll be going Wednesday next week, and I won't be back till the following Wednesday. Okay, good. Go on and build a little vacation around the conference, which is in Scottsdale. It's going to be good. I hope Larry will be there. I'm looking. He usually is, and I'm looking forward to that. We'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org. Tweet it out over at EduTalkRadio. You can follow us over there. You get a direct link before and after every show. And now, my good buddy, the one and only, the amazing, the man from Chicago, hardcore Cubs fan, the one and only, and also executive vice president over at MCH Data, which I should also mention, okay? And that would be the one and only Larry Buchweitz. Ready good for morning. Your 15 minutes of fame? Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing well, Larry. How are you?
That's good. Am I going to see you in Scottsdale?
Yes, sir. I'll be there.
I'll be there on Sunday.
Like a good 3 days of really intense heat to get everything going for you, right?
There you go. Well, wear your shorts, the short shorts, like you usually do. Like the guy when I was at that show, Vegas PD, whatever that thing was. I can't remember. The guy used to wear the real tight short shorts. Larry doesn't dress like that. He's a pro. Executive vice president over at MCH Data. He's helped hundreds of educational companies better understand, that's a key phrase, and reach the education market. That's what we're going to be talking about today. And Larry, you have a lot of insights. You guys develop data and lists and all that. Well, actually, you tell everybody, what does MCH Data do? You say that.
Okay. Well, MCH Strategic Data is a data compiler, and we specialize in business to business, but even further than that, we specialize in very niche markets. And the K-12 market is one of them. It was the cornerstone of how the company was built. We're over 85 years old. We started out as children book publishers and education journal publishers.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and over the last 85 some years, we sort of evolved in terms of compiling data for education and to be able to promote these journals and books into solely a data company. We also branch out into other vertical markets such as healthcare, government, county, religious for churches and that kind of thing. But it's always been our love, and it's what we really devote a lot of time and energy to is the K-12 market.
That's good, and you guys do great stuff. And what? Go ahead, please finish.
No, and so we. Package and we deliver this data in a variety of formats education companies use to market and sell their products and solutions.
It's great. And one of the key things, and there's nothing worse than you being a history teacher and getting a brochure for the director of curriculum. Okay. And
right.
Vice versa, I might add. Or a math brochure if you're an English teacher. There's nothing worse. The companies want to reach the right people. Okay, they don't want to waste your time, and they don't want to waste their time and dollars, and that's why the quality data is so important, and that word data is becoming more and more important as we get more and more into a technological age, which I believe we are already in. Larry, what do you see happening in today's sales and marketing environment? What do you see going on out there?
Well, there's been a pretty big shift, and I'm going to address it. It's been a shift that's been happening in the business and consumer world for a while, but there's been a pretty big shift in the B2B marketplace. I'll address the sales, which is much more intense on a need to get a steady flow of really highly qualified leads for their sales teams, whether they're independent contractors or field reps or inside reps. Those reps need a really strong pipeline of highly qualified leads. And to be able to do that adequately, there's got to be more insight. They need to know more about the behaviors of the people who work, the educators, the district administrators, as well as attributes that are assigned to these institutions. How big are they? Where they're located? What kind of funding do they get? But it's always a battle of sales. And, you know, I've been in sales pretty much my entire career. There's always a battle there of how much time do your salespeople use in putting in information into their CRM systems and collecting that data versus actual selling time. And if you talk to a sales manager like me, I'd like to get my team always selling. On the marketing side, marketing's got a really tough job. They're expected to drive these leads to the salespeople. They're also responsible for building really lasting relationships with both customers and prospects. So they have this need to interpret this data from a variety of sources that will help them qualify these leads. So they have a lot on their plate, and technology is starting to help them do that, but there's still a fair amount of things that they need to do.
How long have you been selling data into the education market, Larry?
You're going to make me feel really old, Larry.
maybe that was the point.
I've been in the data business. I started out a long time ago as a data editor for a directory publisher. But in terms of like what I'm doing now, I started in 1930.
So 1930. I'll fill in the blank. 1940. I'm leading to something.
Yeah, I started in 86.
Okay.
Somewhere around there. So.
Okay, that's cool. Cool. So my question is.
Over 30 years.
Wow. Wow, it's amazing considering you're 39 years old, a 9-year-old prodigy.
I was a child prodigy.
Who got into the data business. It's astounding, I have to tell you. I'm very impressed. Okay, and you look it. You look like you're 39 years old, so it works perfect. As I do. Okay? No problem, buddy. Okay? But, you know, my question is, how has the marketing changed? All right, which is probably, I give you a PhD from Larry University if you can answer this. But you've been selling data into education basically for 30 years. Okay, how have you seen it change? And it's changed in so many ways. And I'm going to just throw one thing out to put you on the track. It's like email addresses. Okay, it used to be just addresses of the school, Joe Smith History Department, ABC Elementary School, something like that.
Right.
Okay, but how has it all changed now? What changes have you seen?
Well, the major change has been, the different channels of sales and marketing. Back when I started, it was all just mailing lists, basically. People were doing direct mail brochures. They were doing a lot of catalogs. They were doing a lot of brand advertising. So it was very one-dimensional. They were just getting a lot of labels, putting them on catalogs, shipping them, and then doing it. And so the marketing aspect of that has evolved over the years, as you said, introducing the technology. So email started to come in, maybe 15 years ago, a little more than 10.
Yeah.
That sort of evolved, and now social media has come aboard. So I referred to some of the challenges that marketing teams have. How are they balancing that? And then how are they balancing that with all the variety of data that they're getting from a variety of sources, from third-party lists, from first-party, their customer data.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to really manage those. So that's really evolved a lot. And when you factor in that that schools and the way schools plan and buy has changed dramatically over the years. It's become a little bit more decentralized. A lot of the different federal funding rules that are coming on Title I and everything else, that has become, that has changed dramatically how educational markers, and anybody who's listening out there, you know, knows much better than I do. You know, they have, that becomes problematic for them in terms of how do you continue to get your message in front of a lot of different decision makers, because you know, any time a decision is
and the
made,
right, the right decision makers, literally the decision
right.
makers,
yeah. right. There's always more than one. There's always more than one. There's multiples that, from the district level all the way down to the school building level. So there's influencers. Principals play a big role in elementary. Classroom teachers still play a significant role depending on what they're buying. We know from our research, for example, that the decision on what apps to buy for a classroom is mainly done by the classroom teacher. Obviously, the larger buys are done by administrators and principals and that kind of thing.
Right. It's interesting. You said apps, because one of the things I've noticed is that some people call it like the Wild West, because the teachers are not developing their own app, but they're selecting the apps they like. Well, okay, which creates a management problem. Challenge, I shouldn't say problem, because a lot of the apps are terrific. Okay, they help kids learn, but you got to be able to broadband them in. Okay, and get them in there and get the kids working on it. So it's really amazing. I want to ask you one other question. I want to talk to you more about this data thing, okay, because that's so hot in education right now. Have you noticed, Larry, and it used to be, and you're right, I was a history teacher. I used to get the catalogs, okay? They would send them to me, okay, and some of the other teachers in the department, okay, from some of the companies in social studies. But what are the expectations? This is a key question, I think. What are the expectations of the educators now? This is a digital age. What are their expectations of what they want from the companies in terms of marketing stuff that comes to them? What's the educator, the client, so to speak, your client's client, the educator, what's their expectations? You must have seen a change in that.
Well, yeah. Well, it's changed because the funding rules changes, and with the ESSA, that's all changing dramatically.
Yeah.
So, you know, their changing is, how is this product or solution going to help me in assessments and test scores and all that kind of thing. So that, and then the real big, you know, it's been big for a while, is they looking for more professional development money.
Yep.
You know, how a school district is funded is still primarily drives how they buy.
Yep.
But what are they buying? And they have a lot less money sometimes to devote to development, professional development. And so a lot of the educators use that and really are on their own. So I think that's more of a challenge, just make sure that they get it, and then what the funding situations are. And it's different. It's become a lot more granular. The marketplace. It used to be there was 15,000 districts, 122,000 schools, 5 million educators. Educators drove a lot of the buying, and now it's become a little bit more complicated. So there are a lot more variables involved in the decision on what products and solutions to buy, and then how do we train our educators to be able to use that to achieve their curriculum-related goals, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it all boils down. You said the word granular, and I want to say that's the way the data that you give, okay, to your clients, i.e. the education industry, is granular. So the right person is getting the right thing from the company. And I want to keep emphasizing that, okay? It's key, which brings me to another question. And actually, I got an email from you, okay, I think either today or 2 days ago or so, about something you have called, it's part of my question, I didn't realize it was going to be, you have a new product out there, it's called Datalocity, okay, which is a play on the word velocity, right, and you talked about, when we were planning this show, data quality, okay, and then the definition of that versus the definition of data velocity, and I'm going to take a guess, because I don't really know, but I think data velocity means that a lot of people move and change their jobs all the time, their titles, et cetera. And this may be wrong, but it's a good idea anyway, that you guys are so quick to get the right name with the right job, et cetera. Is that what data velocity is? Okay, which I know you do anyway, but I'm curious if that's what it is. Or did I nail it?
Right,
did I nail it? No, did I nail it, Big Larry?
You nailed it. Well, if I say no,
that was a guess.
Pull the plug right now. Yeah. Well, you were 50%
I won't pull the plug.
Right. Okay. 50% correct.
That was like my SATs. I got 50% right, so it's all right. I'm doing well. Right.
When we talk about data velocity, it's actually sort of in two different directions. Data velocity is the data coming in, and so that part is what you got right. How quickly, and we're pretty proud of the fact that. So how fast is the data coming in? There are a lot of changes. 24% of the educators evolve and change over a year. Teachers leave, they relocate. New teachers come in.
Well, when
teachers
did you
get
say,
married.
Wait a minute,
they
Larry,
change
did you
their
say 24%?
Names.
Did you say 24%?
Yeah. Average over a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Fast is the data? So the point is, how fast are we getting the data in? Meaning, how quickly can we get it? And we're really proud of the fact that we've developed a unique methodology where we're using technology. We use a lot of the standard other practices, but we're pretty much monitoring about 70,000, 75,000 schools, pretty close to 4 million educators on a monthly basis, and so we're able to. We're verifying the data. We're verifying the teacher's job function and their email address, and then we're adding new data, and then we're actually deleting old data. So the velocity of which we're getting the data in has been sped up dramatically. So these new names, especially this time of year when there's a lot of changes going on at school, school's open, that's really critical. The second part of the velocity issue is how quickly we can deliver the data to our users. So how quickly, because that's really key for all the reasons I talked about in terms of how the sales and marketing environment has changed over the years, which is highly qualified leads, getting to the right person, what kind of attributes are involved with the institution that helps make the decisions on what on lead scoring, lead nurturing, that kind of thing. So the velocity is the data coming in and how quickly we can get it, and then how fast can we deliver it so that salespeople and marketing people in the education market can take advantage of that.
And the quicker you do that, the quicker the educator can take advantage of the product or service. I got to keep saying that because this is key stuff. Okay. And I want to say this. I've said it a zillion times. I did a show yesterday with Vicki Bigham. We'll both go to the EdNet conference for the industry next week. But, the industry, and this is a really good industry. They're good people. Okay. And they're very concerned that A, their products work, okay, and their services work, all right? I can guarantee you that. They work hard to make that happen. But they also want to make sure that they're, like you're saying, on top of the changes with titles, with people leaving, with name changes, school changes, et cetera, charter schools being developed, et cetera, et cetera. We go right on down the list. They want to be sure they're getting to the right person because the industry understands that time is a real factor in educating kids. And when you get the wrong information, the educator's time, as well as the industry time, has been wasted. Okay? So to be right on top of it. Yeah, I mean, it's so important and so respectful of the client. Okay? And I know the mess. I got to ask you a question. I don't know if you can answer this. Okay. How do you, what do you have, a staff of 30,000 people in Missouri just finding out what's going on in every school?
No.
I think it's between 29 and 30,000 people who come in every day to MCH. How do you, you hear that, Ange? I just increased she's the president. I just increased the payroll. How do you do that? If you can just give people a little idea of how you guys are on top of things so quickly each month, basically, which is amazing.
I talked a little bit about the technology. So we're using technology to get that, but we also use a lot of other resources. I think we have a staff that's been doing this. I think I don't know how big it is. I'm gonna guess, and I'll probably get it
about
wrong.
About 30,000,
somewhere
30,
like
40,000 people.
I think it's around 10 people. But
okay.
I'm sure if any of them are listening right now, I'll probably get an email telling how I'm wrong. But I'm trying.
You're doing great.
Well, I'd say over a quarter of them have been doing it for over 10 years. So they are absolute experts in the compilation. They're experts in the structure of schools and districts and understanding all that. And so they're very versed in it. And so it's about 10, 15 people, including quality control checks and all of that. We've done a lot more in the technology to facilitate that, to get the velocity that I've talked about. But that's pretty much it. But one thing that you talked about earlier and that occurred to me while you were talking about making sure it gets to the right person, all that.
Oh yeah.
You said how things changed in the industry. So, just for an example, when we were talking about when people were doing direct mail and catalogs, right? So who was the gatekeeper there to make sure, even though the label had, it could have had Larry Jacobs history teacher at whatever whatever school you were teaching at. The gatekeeper there was the school secretary, because
right.
The school secretary was getting that information and putting it in the mail bins, right? So as the cost
correct.
Of paper and postage and all that started to go up, email started to come on board, and then followed right after that by social media. That gatekeeper went away, and it was a lot less expensive to do that. So now who the gatekeeper is? Well, the gatekeeper is the individual educators or district administrators. They're the ones that the emails coming into their email inbox. So they now, so you've gone from, let's just say, 122,000 schools to over 4 or 5 million gatekeepers. It's a pretty dramatic increase.
Huge. Huge.
And so then you got to get more creative in terms of how you do it. And that's where the data becomes key. That's where the attributes, the segmentation become key, and then the messaging becomes key as well. So I sort of went
messaging
a little over there, but I want to wrap that up a little bit in terms of that.
No,
it's so
good. It's good. I'm glad you're doing it. Yeah, I want to ask you something. I don't know if it came to me. I think you guys have use something called DAS, which is data as a service. And I think you have that. Do you know about that? Are you an expert on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Data
as a service is basically sort of a new. I mean, I think everybody, if you've been in the industry a little bit, everybody knows about software as a service, which is companies like Salesforce and a lot of email service providers, everything that sort of goes into what they call now the marketing stack. But data as a service, I mean, people would order labels in the old days where they'd be the peel and stick or machine fix, and then it went to electronic. And so we ship them electronic data and they have to ingest it. But now data as a service is developing platforms that people can then get data on demand. And so you mentioned earlier Datalocity, and that's what that is. That is like data on demand. So, people can get this, they can access it from their desktop. They can then go and find our data and then pull it in, and it will automatically go into a CRM system. And I can get very, more specific in a little while about that, but that's
don't have to, people get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
People get it. Okay. And they know what this is. And what else? I mean, the Datalocity thing, which is a terrific marketing theme and a terrific product. That's a product you guys sell, right?
Sell Datalocity as
a product?
Yeah. Well, it's a brand, yeah. We just rolled it out. Basically, it's a platform to use the sort of data as a service. They license the data from us. It's available. The first version, which just rolled out last week, is for Datalocity for Salesforce.com. So basically, if you're an educational marketer and you're using Salesforce.com, look, one of the biggest challenges, I'm going to revert back to what you said earlier or asked me earlier, how are things evolved during my career in this. One of the biggest challenges that marketers have, you know, I talked about how getting qualified leads, getting precision in their data, is once they license this data, it gets shipped over, and their IT department then takes over for it, and they have to ingest this data. And so a lot of them are working through legacy systems. They're working, as I said before, this marketing stack, which is a suite of systems and applications that have now become very popular because the expense is not great. So the marketers can get a complete picture of the customers and prospects, you know, and one of the biggest problems they have is ingesting data into legacy systems and then making them available to all these different applications, whether it's customer relationship management systems, email service providers. There's a lot of analytical tools that are out there. And now a lot of tools for social media, whether it's media management services or content management. Datalocity for Salesforce will take the data. Two things that are really important with that. They'll just ingest it right into Salesforce and it'll go in there. Second of all, we talked about the data quality and how critical that is. Why is data quality really critical? And by data quality, I mean, is there standardized data and the depth of it? But standardized from the standpoint of, is all the data in the right field? So the address is in the same place and the contact name is in the same place.
It's interesting.
One of the biggest obstacles that they have, when they're ingesting the data, is matching it up against their own customer data. This tool will match it automatically.
Really?
It will keep it up to date on a 24 nightly. It will do it. Weekly, we'll be sending more new data into the system, and then they can just ingest the data from their desktop. That's going to be
It's pretty impressive. Yeah, I got to tell you.
It's pretty nice stuff. And so that's one of the biggest challenges that I've seen over the years is that IT departments are just, I mean, they're buried just like a lot of other departments.
Yeah, like everybody else is.
Marketers are. Yeah. And they, you know, they've got, you know, in some cases they're doing accounts receivable, accounts payable. In some areas they're doing inventory control. And they're trying to manage CRMs and all these other systems.
Yeah.
And then they've got to take a big file of data and try to ingest it so the marketing and salespeople could use it. This tool takes all of that away and does it automatically. So it then frees up the IT. Marketing doesn't have to wait for IT to do it. It's there when they need it. And that's really key. So the first version's rolled out for Salesforce. You know, it's going to be compatible with CRM systems and marketing automation platforms. Salesforce is out. Marketo is probably going to be before the end of the year. And then we've got a list of other applications that will be rolling out in 2018. So we're really excited about that. So that all fits into the whole data velocity of how quickly can we deliver these data to sales people and marketing people and
how quickly and accurately they get into the schools. I have one other question as we're winding down here, Larry. It's interesting. When you guys go ask for the correct data, which is important, as I keep saying, to both these schools and your particular education industry clients, is there resistance from schools to give that away, or do they understand how important it is that they get the information from the industry and that that's what you're really doing? Okay, I'm just curious about that. Is there resistance from schools?
I'll go back to 30 years that I've been doing this, and I mean. Back in the day, we used to do sweepstakes because we ended up sending surveys to the school secretary to fill out. And we still call a lot of school secretaries. I'm sure there have been a couple times where people objected, but I have to say that I've never come across any real, obstacles in doing that. People are pretty much
open
because, you know, we are very careful in making sure they understand that it's to their benefit. We're going to make sure that the companies are sending the right message to the right person. The only thing that we used to get back in the day when it was just cataloged were somebody would mail like 30 catalogs or 40 catalogs. Or I remember one time somebody
the same person.
They put
the
a whole skid of catalogs into the school.
God.
Yeah, they got a little excited about that, which is understandable.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I'd say.
Those were the old days when Larry was 8 years old and just getting started in this business, like
That's
me.
Right. That's right.
Right. Yeah, it's amazing. Right. When are you heading out to Scottsdale for EdNet?
I'll be leaving Sunday. I probably get in around 3 or something like that.
Okay, I'll see you there on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll be there along with my beautiful wife. I might add, my wife will be there.
I don't think I've ever met your wife, so this will.
I don't
be a
think
first.
You have, so you will meet her, and you will tell her that you depend on me for all. For you don't make a move in the industry without talking to me first, because I am so well respected.
I'll behave.
Yeah. No, you don't have to. It's Carolyn.
Bigger megaphone than me, so I have to defer to that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. All right. Hey, Larry, this was great. Yes, this was a good show. I mean, I really like to dig into the industry for not only the industry listeners, but also for my K-12 educator listeners, okay? Because I want them to understand how good this industry is, and this was a really good show on this stuff, Larry.
Well, thanks. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well,
it's always fun talking to you, Larry. You know that. I enjoy it.
Yeah. We're friends. Back at you without question. MCHdata.com and their sales manager, executive VP is Larry Buckwhites, and that's who's on the phone. It's Chicago and Go Cubbies. Is that all right? Go Cubbies?
Oh, yeah. We need all the help we can get right now.
Right. And by the way, the Boston Red Sox are selling their Apple Watches half price this week. If you want to, okay, it's a great opportunity to get a nice Apple Watch. Be good, my friend. I'll talk to you later.
I got a lot of friends who are Red Sox fans, so I won't say anything. All right.
Yeah, you can. They'll live through it. Okay, it's
okay,
pretty funny. All right. Yeah, I'll see you on Sunday.
All right, take care. We'll see you. All right. Bye.
Okay, be good, Larry. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
My good buddy, Larry Buckwhites. Oh, there you are, Larry. Take care, friend. Thank you. Larry Buckwhites is the VP of Sales for MCHdata.com. Okay, and check it out. Just check it out just in general. I mean, it's incredible stuff what they do to get the right information to the right person. Right industry information to the right person. We'll archive the show, education-talkradio.org, and we'll tweet it out yet again with a direct link. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Mr. Buckwhites, thank you so much. President Ridpath in Missouri, I appreciate everything you've done. We'll be back at you tomorrow morning with a show on character and social-emotional learning. Okay, thanks for listening. Have a great day.